pray for Brother Cedric here as he brings the word. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for this brother and the work that you have done in his life. We praise you for the goodness of your good gifts. We praise you for the gift of your salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would anoint our brother here as he opens the word, that you would anoint him as he preaches the message of the gospel of hope, that as he opens this word, Lord, that you would illuminate the word to our hearts and that we would hear from you tonight through this brother. Lord, we give you all the glory. This is your work in your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Michael, for that prayer. And thank everybody for coming out tonight and supporting and to hear a word from the Lord. I do want to forewarn you, whoever is working the microphone, sometimes I may get a little loud. So if I get excited, just turn it down a little bit. You got to work with me. I see a lot of faces out here. It's a beautiful thing. Kind of make a few nerves rise up in me, you know. But before I get started here, I just wanted to tell you guys a little story here and something that I often do in my messages. It was a story that I heard of a man some years ago. And this man, he had a problem in his home. He had a crack on his bedroom wall. He had a crack on his bedroom wall, and he needed to get this crack fixed. So he called over a painter. The painter came over, and he looked at the crack, and he removed the old paint, removed the plaster, and he replastered everything and repainted everything, and he looked at it, and everything looked good. It all seemed well, so he left. But about a month later, the crack came back. As you can imagine, this man, he was upset. He was disturbed that this crack came back because he just hired this painter to fix it. So he called the painter back. He said, "Could you please fix this crack on my bedroom wall?" So the painter, he was a little confused himself. He couldn't understand. "I just fixed this crack. I don't know how it came back." So he removed the old paint. He replastered everything again, and he repainted it, and all seemed well. So he left. But about 45 days later, the crack reappeared. But this time, it came back with his nieces. It had his nephews, his uncles, aunts, and cousins. He had a whole family of cracks on his wall. So the man, he decided, "Well, I think I need myself a new painter." So he called a different painter out. The painter came out, and he told the painter, he said, "Could you fix these cracks on my bedroom wall?" The new painter, he looked at everything. He evaluated it and stared at it for a while. He looked at the man and he said, "I'm sorry, sir, but I can't help you." So the man looked at the painter and said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I can't help you." This man, he said, "What do you mean you can't help me?" The painter said, I can't help you because you don't have a problem with cracks on your wall." So the man looked at the cracks on the wall that he wasn't having a problem with. Then he looked at the crack that was standing in front of him, telling him he didn't have a problem with cracks on his wall. And he said, "I see a crack. You see a crack. all God's children see a crack, I got a crack on my bedroom wall. The painter, he said, yeah, you got a crack on your bedroom wall. I'm just saying that's not your problem. You see, your problem is you have a shifting foundation. The foundation underneath your house is moving. And until you can solidify your foundation, you're going to be forever dealing with patchwork, trying to fix these cracks on your wall. Would you pray with me? Father, I come to you this evening asking, Lord, for more grace. Lord, I don't deserve this opportunity to speak to your people. I'm a weak and feeble man, and I ask you to forgive me of that, Lord. But Lord, if it be your will, could you touch me right now in the mighty name of Jesus? Could you use me tonight, Lord, and speak through me? Use me as a vessel, Lord. Father, I ask that everything that comes out of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I say amen. 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 So, my brothers and sisters, we all heard this story that I just told, and I got to inform you that right now in this day and age, a lot of us are dealing with cracks on our bedroom wall. Now, when I say a crack on our bedroom wall, I mean some of us have cracks in our lives. This crack could be all type of things. It could be pain. It could be divorce. It could be lust, teenage pregnancy. I mean, it could be a variety of things. But the question is, how are we going to deal with these cracks? How are we going to fix these cracks? We know that these cracks are just a symptom of a much deeper problem. And I just want to ask everybody a question here this morning. Is it possible that we may need to solidify our foundation? That's my question this morning. How firm is your foundation? How firm is your foundation? And we're going to take a look at a story that Jesus tells in the 6th chapter of Luke. If you got your Bibles, would you turn there? The 6th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 46th verse, when you get there, just say amen. And we're going to look at a story that Jesus tells about two men and two houses. Two men, two houses, and two foundations. These houses, at first glance, may look the same, but they're very different. We just got to look closely. Verse 46, for sake of time, let me just say this. For sake of time, go back and read the beginning of the 6th chapter. I don't want to take up a lot of time in going through to see how we get to this point. Is that all right with you guys? Y'all got to talk back to me, you know. I mean, you got to talk back to me. If you can, talk back to me, all right? I need a little help up here, amen? Amen. All right, so and it reads in the 46th verse reads like this. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man who is building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And God's word is already blessed. Well, we want to see if we can unearth what God is telling us this morning. He says in that verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" It's a very important question that Jesus asks right there. And I believe oftentimes that we sometimes overlook this question that he's asking. I believe that that's a question that we must ask ourselves as well. And we also want to know, why would he ask a question like this? Why would Jesus ask a question like this? What we have to understand is, in that sixth chapter, Jesus, a lot of things was going on, obviously. He had gave the Beatitudes a couple passages earlier. He had gave the woes to people. He had been out doing a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching. He had a lot of disciples claiming and a lot of people following him, claiming to believe in him, claiming that they was followers of him. And you also had the Pharisees that was doing these same things, trying to catch him up. So that's what brings us to this question that he asks. Y'all got to bear with me here. So now, like I said, we had many of people listening to Jesus, following him, regardless of what purpose they was following him for. But we had many of them following him. Many of them listened to his sermons, the Beatitudes and all these other things. And many of them who had claimed to believe in him and believe on him. And what you have to understand is right now today, that still haven't changed. We still have people today claiming to be following Christ, claiming to be one of his. They're playing church. They're faking the funk. Paul tells us that they have a form of godliness. He tells us that over in 2 Timothy. They got an appearance of godliness, but they are denying its power. Paul warns us, he tells us to stay away from folk like that. He cautions us not to be a person like that. Matthew Henry, he put it this way. He says, "It is not enough to hear the sayings of Christ, but we must do them. Not enough to profess relation to him as his servants, but we must make conscience of obeying him. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them," verse 47, "I will show you what he is like." What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus talking about when he says this right here? His brother James, over in the book of James, in the first chapter, 22nd through the 25th verse, James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like or what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." In other words, when we hear the word of God, We can't let it go in one ear and then out the other ear. Amen. We must allow God's word to take root in us, to penetrate us, and to change us. Amen. And evidence that we are doing that, evidence that we are not just hearers of the word, is going to come out in our actions. It's going to show in the things that we do. So in other words, what he's saying is, it got a whole lot to do with our obedience. Amen. It has a whole lot to do with our obedience. Remember at the beginning of verse 47, he says, everyone who comes to me. So that tells us something else. He's talking about folk who come. He's talking about those of us who are calling ourselves Christians. So he's not necessarily talking about ones who ain't saved. He's talking about to the ones who call themselves professing Christ already. So he's talking about the church folk. He's telling us to examine ourselves. Amen. We got to understand that once we accept Christ in our life, and once we claim that he is Lord over our life, we're now going to be held accountable for that. There's a different standard that now we have to live by, different rules we got to play by. There's a whole different way of life we now have to live. And if we keep this standard, now let me stop right there, first of all. Let me stop just for a minute, because we got to understand that this is not something that we can do in and of ourselves. This is not something that we can do under our own power. The only way we can do this is by that Holy Spirit that's living and dwelling in us. That Spirit is what empowers us to be obedient to God. And how are we going to be obedient to God? By loving him. And if we truly love him, love is an action word, that's going to be reflected in our actions. Our actions towards him and to other people. That's what he's talking about. We're going to dig a little deeper here. We're going to dig a little deeper. Let me back up. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man built in a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. I like the King James Version said it had been built. It had been founded on a rock. 49 says, but the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Two men, two houses, two foundations, two totally different outcomes. How? Why? Why two totally different outcomes? Well, let's look and see here. The parallel passage to this verse is over in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 24th verse. You can turn there if you like. I'm just going to pull a couple things out of there. In that parallel passage, it calls one of these men a wise man. And he called the other man a fool. We read our Bible so much, and we kind of forget and miss what wise and what a fool, what it really looked like. Let's look at this wise man first. Wise man. He has the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true or right. Right judgment and discretion. Best definition I like for that word is, a wise man possesses inside information So for this first man, we can see that he was in his right mind because he had the spirit and power of discernment. We can see he was in his right mind because he was taking heed to those beatitudes that he heard Jesus preach about, to all the sayings that he had heard, all the teachings that he had got. He was taking heed to these things. And we know this because he dug deep and laid his foundation on a rock. That's where he built his house. I'm sure we all know what it's talking about when it says he built his house. We know that Jesus is not talking about a building of brick and mortar and stone. I would hope we know that. But if we don't know that, I just want you to understand what house means. House is talking about our life, our makeup, the legacy we're going to leave once we're gone. This includes the people we hang around with. This includes what we involve ourselves in while we're here. This includes the way we walk while we're still here on this earth. All these things is wrapped up in your life. That's what he's talking about. Your whole makeup, your life, everything about you. So this man built his house. He built his life on the rock. Well, we know what the rock is, don't we? I heard one song writer say, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand." All of the ground is sinking sand. I heard somebody say that he's my rock in a weary land. I heard somebody say he's our rock of ages. This is where the wise man built his house. He built his house on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because this is the rock that's holding his life together. He's rooted. He's grounded on Christ. Could I ask you, is that where your house is built? Is it really built on the rock? It's okay to examine yourself. We have to do it all the time. We gotta make sure and know that we're in the faith. We got another man. Bible called that man a fool. What does a fool look like? Verse 49 says, "But the one who hears and does not do is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin was great." Again, back in Matthew, we saw that it says he's a foolish man. What classifies a person as a fool? What does a fool look like? Dictionary tells us that a fool is a silly, a stupid person. Fool is a person who lacks judgment. He don't have no sense. He's a weak-minded or idiotic person. The Bible says that anyone who essentially is against God is a foolish man. That's what the Old Testament tells us. The Greek word for fool, they talks about fool is a moron. Those are some harsh words to describe an individual. Am I right? But Jesus, this is what he calls the individual that's not building his house on the rock. I don't know about you, but I know I don't want to be nobody's fool. But the sad thing about this is that we have some folk walking around just like that. They're walking around as straight up fools, out of their right mind. They're building their houses or their lives on sand or on mud. They're building it on principles that's not going to stand, not going to last. And the text tells us that a storm came. So what we have to understand is it's not a matter of if the storm is going to come. It's when the storm is going to come, because the storm is going to come. And what is what is God talking about when he tells us that a storm is going to come? Well, this storm is a representation of the struggles and trials and tribulations that we all have and have to go through in our life. They're going to come. He makes it very plain that we're going to have them. The way we respond to these things is going to reveal what our house is built on. What are we building our lives on? Because either one or two things are going to happen. Either if it's built on the rock, when the cracks on our wall come, they're going to be repaired and they're going to sustain, or we're going to be continuing to patch them up. A little while later, they're going to come back and we're going to have to patch them up again. Jesus tells us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust all the same. So we understand and we know from this passage that we're going to get some storms in our life. We're going to get some trouble in our life. And we need to know if our foundation is really on the rock. And I would encourage you to examine yourself as I examine myself to make sure that's where we're building our life. We need to know how firm our foundation is, because we don't want something to come into our life and we respond in such a way that is going to bring hellfire within our life. I'm going to end right here. I just want to know and make sure you know if you need to solidify your foundation. Because sometimes we need to go back to where everything all started out at the cross, where we first saw the light. Because sometimes we get so comfortable when we get away from that and we think we're okay. That's not always the case. You may be struggling with something right now or going through something right now and you can't seem to shake it or overcome it or feel all right by it or have no peace in it. It may not be that thing that's giving you this trouble. It may be a issue of having to solidify some things in your faith, in your life. So that's the question I leave with you. The same one I started with. How firm is your foundation? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this brief word. And I now ask that you do what you have designed it to do. I trust, Lord, that all of us are building our houses on you. And if we're not, I ask that you would reveal this to us, Lord. If there's any sin in our life that we need to repent about, I ask that you would cause us to do that, because in and of ourselves we are nothing and weak. And we need you in all things. I ask that you would build us up, Lord, and strengthen us. I ask that these words don't fall on deaf ears. We take this and we use them exactly the way that you have designed for us to use it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.